Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear your real ghost stories. Called in at 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is indeed, and yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost story with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, as we call them, EPP. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, more than 300 some to binge away on with our best ghost stories. You also get access to our archive of all of our shows, including advanced episodes released to you guys as EPPs weeks before they go to the public, and they're all commercial free. So you get the archive, you get the advanced archive. You also get our ebook and our audiobook, both Amazon and Audible bestsellers. Those right there, $15 a pop if you were to buy them on Audible or Amazon. You get the e-copies of those, and they're included for free as part of your membership of being an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Beat your story from last episode.
I cannot. And I don't think I ever will.
That's a pretty good one. I don't know. You never say never.
I have surprised myself a few times on this show, but yeah. that one takes the cake.
You know, the only thing that would have been better is if you would have been finding that picture that we talked about on the air. If you would have been over there on the other side of the mic and like coming out of a story, you were like, Tony, and then you shared it with me for the first time, mm-hmm. live on the, like when we had the revelation of the ghost friend as the imaginary friend as a child. That was some interesting audio, but I don't know that you're going to beat that, but
well, hopefully
here's to it.
Everybody listens to the previous episode so that they know what we're talking about.
It involves graves. It involves bodies on or near our property. It involves Native American area as well. Two separate things. It also involves
the Civil War.
The Civil War and a moment where Jenny had something happen to her 15 years ago that made it full circle to today, very specifically as to where we live. Very paranormal, weird, creepy, awesome story on probably the episode before this one. It's called, I gave it a name.
What did you name the episode?
Bodies on the Land.
Oh, so, thank you.
So Bodies on the Land is the episode if you want to hear all that. I won't bore everyone with the story again, but do check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to some of your guys' ghost stories. Hi.
Hey, my name is Pierre. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a few to talk about, but the main one I want to talk about, or the main two, is once when I was around, like a lot of people, basically, I was incarcerated. I saw a shadow person, but the shadow person wasn't like all shadow people. He wasn't like 6 feet or 7 feet or anything. He was about 5'9". But the thing that stuck out, no head or anything, just glowing red eyes. And some people say they can't move, but I was able to move, and I knocked on my bunk mate's bed. And I was like, "George, you see that?" And I know he saw it, because he was like, "What the fuck?" And so, yeah, I was just trying to get insight on that. And also, once when I was younger, this is one of many stories I've been able to see stuff and feel stuff my whole life. But I also saw this other thing. I don't know if it was a shadow person or what, but it looked like smoke, black smoke rising out of the floor with some kind of cloak thing on. I wish I could tell you guys more about it, but I basically took off running as soon as I saw it. Like, it was around 3-ish in the morning. And like I said, I took off running when I saw that. But in that particular house, I saw a lot of things. A lot of things. Also, one more to squeeze it in. In Savannah, I worked at this place called Kinnickle and the Hyatt. And the Hyatt is like a really old building. Also, Kinnickle is an old building. Kinnickle used to be a boarding school. And it was like a gust of wind or something. After I cleaned the aisle, just came and knocked everything over on the aisle. That was my last day working there. I quit that day. At the Hyatt, it was just creepy, strange stuff going on. But the thing that stuck out, it was a picture of like some older people that worked there, probably from the 70s or 60s, I don't know. It was on the floor doing banquet, basically setting up for like the prom, putting the floor down. And so, boom, I picked it up. I went downstairs to take a break. I'm the only one that was allowed in banquet. I had the keys to the door. So I go down there, lock the door, go down there, take a break. I come back. The picture is on the floor again in the same spot. I always felt something in there. Like, I'm not trying to talk too long, so hopefully this can be featured on y'all. So I listen to y'all almost every day. I've been listening to y'all for about 3 months now.
The witching hour, you know, it's so weird how 3 o'clock is that magic time when shit mm-hmm. comes out.
Oh, we had a call on the last show about that, where it's 3:33 mm-hmm. in the morning. You know, does the 3 a.m. mark play into it? Because I'd posed the question to you saying, are we just noticing these things more so because there's less going on, less activity from humans at that time of day? Or does the time, you know, play into it? Or does it depend on the ghost or the type of ghost that comes out at 3 a.m.?
I think it depends on the ghost. And I think, you know, obviously at 3 a.m., there's not a lot going on outside or around anybody, you mm-hmm. know, unless you are working in a place where they're open at that time. But I think it just depends. Now, the ones that scare me the most are the ones where people wake up at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
repeatedly. And that's, you know, and then they have an experience. It's like something is waking them up. But I don't know really why the witching hour is so heavy with occurrences.
Well, I mean, the thought process on the witching hour is the three. It's the mockery of, it's the opposite of when Christ was crucified. It's the three, the Trinity. It's all symbolism mm-hmm. is what it all comes down to. So you have to, I don't know. I mean, do you have to be subscribing to that belief system then for that to be effective, for it to take hold, for things to happen? Or does it not really care what the hell you believe in? It's going to do what it's going to do.
I'm kind of leaning towards it's the ghost belief system. They're going to do what they're going to do. And it doesn't matter what you think or feel, because I mean, we've had people that were skeptics that were, you know, skeptical or atheists that have no belief system. Mm-hmm. whatsoever, have experiences all the way to the most, you know, devout religious families, didn't matter what religion,
mm-hmm.
have experiences. I don't think it depends on that, I think it depends on what the ghost wants.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been an interesting thing to me, especially when I talk to people who are investigators or exorcists or things of that nature, where it always comes down to, they always say, well, it depends on your belief system. If you believe in it, it's going to give it power. So like, well, then what if you just didn't believe in it? You know, what if, I mean, although belief is something you can't easily just turn off either. It's like,
yeah.
I couldn't look at the sky when it's blue and then see that it's blue and then somehow convince myself that it's not blue. Truly change that belief.
Right. Right. You can say it, but yeah. It doesn't make it true.
So it makes you wonder, you know, exactly how all of that, you know, works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hello. I'm just a girl from Ohio trying to survive the quarantine. And I got a story to tell you. So, a little bit of a setup. I have a bird, two cats, and a dog. It's mostly relevant. And we moved in. We have a pretty big bedroom. And in the bedroom, it's a singular window on one side and a closet on the other side. The closet has a shelf. And on that shelf, we had pictures of family members. We had a statue of Jesus that my fiance's mom gave to him. It was probably about 6 inches, made of plastic. And we had one of those metal viewfinders that were super heavy. And, you know, viewfinders where you put the circular film in and you press the lever on the side and you can look at it through the viewfinder holes. Anyway, we had those up there. And we went to bed that night. My bird is completely covered with blackout sheets and things like that so that she doesn't see anything throughout the night because birds get night fright. But she's a really mellow bird, not very skittish. She will ride on a dog, no problem. And so, like, she's got a really chill personality. So the night we went to bed, we heard two loud bangs as if somebody were like slamming something on the floor. It was probably about 1:30 or 2 when this happened, and there was a big storm going on and the wind was blowing like crazy. And when we heard the loud bangs, I got up and I found the Jesus statue and the viewfinder. And the viewfinder was given to my fiance's late wife. And both of those were basically by the bed. And the bed is about 5 feet away from the closet. Now, the viewfinder's really heavy. And you can't just, like, plop it off. And the wind surely wouldn't have blown it. So my bird's freaking out because of the noise. Like I told you, night frights, right? So I was like, okay, this is crazy. And I put them back where they were. I shut the closet so it didn't happen again and go back to sleep. The next day I woke up. We were unpacking still, and in the middle of the day my bird started having a freak out, which is so unlike her. She's really chill, she's really mellow, nothing really scares her. And so I come in to the bedroom to see if maybe one of the cats got in. But they didn't. Both the cats were outside. And I look around to see if anything fell, and there's nothing there. But she was inconsolable. And so I pull her out. I do my usual thing with her to help calm her down, which is mostly just put her on my shoulder, and continue the day. So the day goes on, and I pull out my cards to see if what is in here is good or bad. And what I mean by cards is tarot cards. I'm a pagan. I work with spirits sometimes, but not directly. I interact with, you know, divination, tarot cards, runes, things like that. And I know some people don't believe in it, but I do. It's part of my religious practice. So I pulled a card and I asked, is this spirit, something good, something bad, something I need to worry about. And the cards basically told me that it was something that was unrest. It was something that wasn't necessarily good, wasn't necessarily bad, but was kind of bad. I don't know if that makes any sense. So what I did is I pulled out some herbs to burn, like sage and Palo Santo, both of which have been mentioned on the show before. And I lit some candles in the windows to both cleanse with the herbs that burn, and the candles will pull any negativity out, cleanse my space, you know, all that good stuff. And I, you know, I thought it was good. I kept feeling weird energies in the living room, and my cat was chasing invisible things. I looked around, there weren't any bugs in the apartment, and he was just chasing air. And cats are sometimes silly and do that, but he jumps really high, and he doesn't ever jump super high unless there's something he's actually aiming for. So that started happening, and he would just sit and watch the things move. And so I was like, okay. And I finally do another cleansing and send everything I can out, my, like, claim my space, like I was telling you, and things chilled out a little bit. And, you know, that's good. So it's mostly the end of the story. Birds stopped having night frights, went back to her chill self. Cats still stare at things and, like, look at things that aren't there. My dog will growl at a corner, but, you know, you can kind of, like, push those a little bit under the rug and not worry about it. Because, you know, I've had dogs be freaked out by fish tank filters. So who knows what they're actually looking at. But that's my story. I know it was kind of rambly, but I love your guys' show. Your dynamic with everybody is great, and you guys always make me laugh. Good luck within your new house and your farm. I hope it's great, and I hope you guys have a wonderful life. Goodbye, and thank you for this outlet.
Thank you for the well wishes. I really appreciate that. And I have to say, when your animals know something's there, and even if you don't feel it, you gotta go with the animals. They just know. they do. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. They just know.
You think if we walk the animals all around the property, they'd find the where the bodies are buried?
I don't know. Probably not. We don't have a cadaver dog, and that's 6 feet down would be a little bit of a challenge. Mm. I don't think we would.
More than 100 years.
Yeah. Ago. Yeah. I don't think that would happen.
Yeah, that's true. It's as close to like Funny Farm as we ever get in terms of, you know, finding a body in the backyard. What do you think of the story?
No, that's what I think of the story. When the animals freak out, you got to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Because she was talking about, you know, the paying attention to open air and things like that. You know, they know when something is in the room, even if you don't.
Yeah. They're kind of the canary in the coal mine.
They are.
When it comes to the paranormal, it's like they know something is up. So it's like, be aware.
Right.
You're not going to know exactly what, but be aware. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and company. My name is Dave. I'm from Massachusetts. I just want to say hello. I enjoy the show. Wanted to tell you a story. I emailed in a story about 4 or 5 years ago. It must have been about 4 years ago. About my parents, you know, my mother playing with a Ouija board, and afterwards Jenny said, you know, don't ever burn a Ouija board, which I know is good advice, but it's kind of one of those things where my life has been kind of filled with hauntings. You know, kind of got into the paranormal investigating thing. I've also been, sort of off topic, I've also been a DJ. Just like you, Tony, right around the same time, mid to late 90s, you know, and I remember a lot of the songs that you've been talking about and things like that. I've got to say, though, I love being, I'm an EPP member, and I'm also a gravekeeper. And I've been kind of going back and forth, but there are some things that I hear on the older and newer shows, you know, that you bring up references and topics and things like that. And I'm always, I almost have like burst a blood vessel, you know, cause I hear you struggling for something and I'm like, this is what it is. This is what it is. But, you know, of course I can't, talk to you to tell you what it is. So I always have to wait and see if you get it. And, it always makes me happy when you do. But anyway, I wanted to tell you a little bit about, some time, when I was younger. I lived up in northern Maine with my family. This is way up in northern Maine, in the town of New Sweden. So anybody who knows Maine, I know it's a really popular place, up near Canada. One of the things that you know about Maine is that the winters are very cold, and the snow gets very deep. But there were times when we lived there, things just kind of started happening. My mother used to tell us stories about in the winter, when she'd be there. My dad would go on trips sometimes, be gone for a little while. She would hear a particular door in the house kind of slam by itself. And she would go and check and there'd be nobody there. You know, there'd be snow on the ground. There'd be no footprints outside. Things just kind of went along like that. Very kind of minor things. You'd hear people walking around downstairs. But for me, one of the big things that always kind of stuck with me is I used to have a recurring nightmare, or at least what I think is a nightmare, of being a child and walking up. We had a particular staircase in the house, which had a little hallway that was enclosed, and then you'd go up the stairway, and there'd be like an open walkway with the bedrooms lined up up and down it. And in the dream, I would walk up the stairs, turn the corner to go walk down the open walkway to the bedrooms, and a black figure. I always thought of it when I was younger as like a sheet. It would seem like a sheet would come and kind of envelop me and kind of smother me. And as I've gotten older, I've kind of learned that that's sort of the sort of thing, you know, kind of darker entities might do. And it's always kind of interested me. I mean, I thought it was a dream at the time. As I got older, I've talked to people who are sensitive, people who have kind of looked at my situation and said that they think that that might have not been a dream. It might have been a real happening. And I can honestly say that that is something that I would totally understand, because also my brother told me a little bit later, I have two brothers and a sister, who've also, you know, kind of seen and heard things. I was told by a brother that he used to have a dream where he would go up the stairs, and at the same point at the top of the stairs where I used to turn the corner and the thing would come out of my parents' bedroom to kind of envelop me, he used to talk about a witch that would be at the top of the stairs in his dreams. And again, he had the same kind of recurring dream, where the witch would take him and try to kind of pull him towards the ceiling as if they were trying to go to the attic or, you know, out into the universe or whatever. And I also had another dream. And I know dreams for people, some people believe that ghosts or entities can come to us in dreams. Other people think dreams are just dreams. But, I mean, for us to have dreams about the top of the stairs just kind of, you know, it freaks me out a little bit. But I had a dream where instead of, you know, it wasn't a witch, it was my sister who was at the top of the stairs. But the stairs used to had a light switch at the top, but there was no light switch at the bottom. But in my dream, there was a light switch at the bottom of the stairs, and I went to the bottom of the stairs, and I flipped the light switch, and my sister was at the top of the stairs, but she had this, like, real demonic look on her face. Now, we left there when I was really young. So she was young too. Might have been 7 or 8 years old when we left there. But it was still, I mean, it was my sister in the dream, but the face was something kind of old and kind of crone-like. So that is something that I've remembered for a long time. The other thing that I, another dream, just the last part of that is that, we were leaving. We moved out of that house when I was really young. And I remember just before we moved away, moved from Maine down to Massachusetts, I had a dream. And in that dream, my brother, the same brother who had the dream, used to have the dream about the witch at the top of the stairs, was actually going up the stairs. And there was, I don't know, you guys have probably seen the movie Poltergeist, the scene where the woman comes down the stairs and she's kind of got the flowing everything, you know, bit white and billowy. That's what it looked like. It was at the top of the stairs, and it was kind of like he was going up towards her, almost like he was saying goodbye or she was saying goodbye, which always kind of struck me as weird. Again, because top of the stairs, my brother's involved. It's just, you know, a little bit too perfect to be a coincidence, at least in my mind. But the last thing that I will tell you about this house that I remember, and this also ties into the stairway, is I remember, now this is a memory, this is, I know this wasn't a dream, this is a memory, and this is where I think the person told me that what the black figure coming out of my parents' bedroom was actually something negative, is I remember being young in that house. I remember my parents were redoing the dining room, which where you had the kitchen was at the front of the house, or at the, excuse me, the back of the house. You go through the dining room. There was the doorway into the little hallway, which went up to the stairs. And I remember everybody in my family was in the kitchen, and I had been walking through the dining room. I had left them in there. It was kind of dark. And I went into the hallway, and I actually heard sort of a low guttural voice from the top of the stairs say, "Come here." And then the next thing I knew, I was in the kitchen with my family again. And I had lost sort of that time in between being at the bottom of the stairs and hearing the voice. And it was probably about a half hour later that I went back into the kitchen or found myself in the kitchen. And that is kind of also what leads me to believe, along with what my sensitive friend told me, is, you know, whatever happened at that point, the dream that I had about the dark thing at the top of the stairs was probably, real, and something had happened that I can't explain. And I mean, this is something, again, like I said, that's followed me throughout my life. There have been other situations that I've been in that I'd love to tell you guys about at some point. But that's just, you know, one part of my life was in that house up in northern Maine, and it's kind of affected me since then. So, you know, when you have experiences like that, I'm sure that your listeners and the people that call in can tell you it's something that sticks with you, and you kind of want answers. And I think that's why a lot of us get interested in the paranormal, and what goes on with that. So, yeah, that's just a little bit of my story. Got to tell you, I love the show. Love listening, love Grave Keepers. I also, you know, it's nice to hear about your neighbors and how much you love them, especially the cows, and even the older shows where your neighbors were fine, upstanding people. But keep up the good work, Tony, Jenny, and the rest, and I appreciate all that you do. Thank you. Have a good night, day, whatever it may be. Bye-bye.
I think there's definitely an entity that the top of the stairs was their domain,
mm-hmm.
and whatever they did or whatever your personal fear was, that's how they projected themselves. So that's why it was different for him versus his brother, mm-hmm. or his sister. But there was always some, you know, they assumed it was a dream, but there was some sort of connection where they all had nightmares about that particular spot. I think it was something there, and that's just how they chose to project themselves,
and that's what they ended up getting.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. It's a creepy story. I can always tell people who are radio people too. That's my other thing.
Their candor.
Yeah, there was a certain delivery he was giving where it's like there's some radio-ness to this person. I don't know, like, was he on the air? Was he, mm-hmm. you know, a wedding DJ? Was he something where, right. where he spoke? So there you go. Interesting. I'd be interested to hear where he was in radio back in those days. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's get another caller and hear a real ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Tony, Jenny, and Carol. My name is Brianna. I am an EVP. I was just listening to the advanced episode the other day. Them was telling their stories about a haunted nursing home, and I figured I would share my experiences in the same type of location. So I worked in an assisted living / memory care unit for 6-7 years. I had all kinds of experiences there. Those places are spirit activity hotspots. It's sometimes scary, sometimes funny, sometimes heartwarming. I'll start with the heartwarming one, my favorite experience. I had a resident there that she moved in the day I started working there. And when I got promoted to manage the assisted living side of things and was moving away from the memory care unit where she was staying, she passed away. So we kind of moved everywhere together until she left this earthly plane. She was my favorite person in the universe. She became part of my extended family. Her family became part of my extended family. And losing her was rough. When she was alive, she used to call me Old Red because at the time I was 19 and wanted to be crazy, so I dyed my hair fire engine red. So Old Red was her nickname for me. So after she passed, I was upstairs covering a shift for one of my employees. And in her old room, we started hearing noises and it sounded like somebody was shouting. And I went to go investigate. You know, people wander around, they get lost and fall, and, you know, it could have been anything. Well, I got to the room and nobody was in there. No residents were wandering around the halls. All the doors were closed. Everybody was asleep, as they should be, because it was like 2:00 in the morning. But when I walk into the room, I just hear, "Well, hey there, Old Red." And I knew it was her, and I knew she had come to say goodbye. It was a really sweet moment, and I had to go lock myself in the bedroom and have a good cry after that. The most frightening experience I ever had there was on the second floor. Most of us didn't go to the second floor alone after dark. It just gave you this feeling of, it was like a sense of dread, like impending doom. You didn't want to look behind you while you were on that floor. It always felt like someone was following you. But I had to go up there by myself one night, probably around the same time, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We had got a page from a resident up on the second floor. So while walking down the hallway, I just got this urge to not look in. I guess urge isn't the right word, but I just felt like you can't look in that mirror. Don't look in that mirror that I was passing by. I knew if I looked in that mirror, I would see something awful. But, you know, curiosity outweighs fear. So I looked in the mirror, and beside me, a man was walking with me, staring at me and smiling. He did not look like a very nice man, and this did not look like a very nice smile. So I turned around and booked it down the stairs and had a coworker come up with me to check the call light, which it turned out was actually for an empty room. So that whole experience was just yikes. One other story real quick before I let you go. I used to play piano. We had a grand piano in the lobby. The lobby is far enough from resident rooms that I would play it in the middle of the night, and probably this was closer to the end of my shift, around 5 o'clock in the morning. When I was playing piano, I got a low battery alert from an empty room's call light, and I went to go unplug it, so we stopped getting those alerts. So I stood up from the piano and I started walking down the hall, and when I turned around from the piano bench, I just see a chair from the bridge table sitting right behind me, which was weird, but I thought one of my coworkers was messing with me and drug it behind me and I didn't notice. So I ignore it. I figure I'll just move it when I come back down the hall. And as I turn my first corner, I hear someone whisper in my ear, "Why did you stop playing?" It sounded like the voice of a small child, which would kind of make sense. A lot of our residents reported seeing children running around at all hours of the night, though children often did not come to the facility, especially not between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. But yeah, those are my stories. I have a ton more from that place and from all the other places that I did caregiving and medication aid work and management work. But those are the ones I'll share from now. I hope you guys have a great day. And thank you so much.
I think it'd be so incredibly hard to have her job, because I think I'd get attached to the patients, and then you know that they're not going to be around much longer.
I think what would be most difficult is that, because you'd almost, to be compassionate, like, I have to get connected to something.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would have to just be, like, really cold. And,
right.
And I don't like that.
No.
It's not good for you. It's not good for the other people. It's almost like I'm going to be cold so I don't get hurt when you die. Mm-hmm. It would be very difficult to keep putting yourself out there over and over and over and over with, you know, it's the same outcome every time. But I don't know. Maybe there's a way that you just kind of get used to and you accept that this is what you're doing. And, you know, I don't know. I think it takes a special individual, you know, a certain type of mindset to be able to do that.
Yeah.
To the super, you know, effective level that some of these folks are able to.
I think, I mean, professionals, I'm sure they have a way of coping and not, you know, letting it get to them as much. But there's got to always be those few, like she mentioned, the one that called her old red, you know, that that's going to always be there.
Sure. Sure. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you want all the bonus episodes of our show, get brand new ones every single week. Get our ebook, get our audio book, get advanced episodes, commercial free, become an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to do all that. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.